You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. We are here in studio and taking your phone calls, and it's great to have all of you here. A few more guests along the way, still waiting for some word from down on the beach, maybe a little while longer if anything was resolved today. So far, don't think much has been. Let's get back to the calls. And Chaplain Mac is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, bud?
Mac, we are well. Thank you.
Been watching you the last few days in beautiful Sandestin. Made me want to come down there and go fishing.
It's amazing.
Are you doing okay?
We are doing great, Mac.
Good. I heard on there about Mitch, and I wanted to call and tell Mitch not to break down before he gets his breakthrough. That I'm praying for him. I'm believing with him, and I'm believing for everything that he needs for God to do it for him. And, you know, you just got to love God and love people, and, you know, and it's important for us to stand together as a family here for Mitch.
Mac, thank you for saying that, and I know you speak for so many people in the audience.
Yes, sir. And I'd want somebody to be standing for me if I was going through something.
Well, and you know they would be.
I love to hear you wax like a pastor sometime and call people to gather together and stand for each other, and I appreciate you so much.
Chaplain, thank you, and you be well. We'll talk very, very soon. AC is up next in Bangladesh.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Mr. Feinbaum. How you feeling?
Hey, AC, by the way, got your note today. Today? I haven't been in the office for a couple of days.
Okay.
And yeah, did I understand you correctly that you were they sent you packing and now you're in Bangladesh?
They sent me packing, Mr. Feinbaum. I love it.
Canada kicked this guy out. Three cheers for Canada.
Yay for the Canada.
So they said, get out of here, AC. I said, I don't care about you, fat, ugly Canadian. And I left. Bad mouth. That's what happens when I run my mouth, Mr. Feinbaum. What am I going to do? It's you. I blame you because he turned me into a monster. It's not my fault. It's not your fault. I give you credit. I'm not going to blame everybody, but I want to thank you every day, man. I love you. Why do I say I love you? I love you because you helped me a lot. You motivated the wrong person. But here's the thing, Mr. Feinbaum. You know, they're talking about a promotion, Pop-Tarts Bowl. When is going to be Mr. Feinbaum Bowl? When is going to be Feinbaum and AC Bowl? It should happen. What do you think, Mr. Feinbaum? It should definitely happen. You and I, we carry the show because I'm the new blood in town. What, Mr. Feinbaum? Jim is past, Tony. So what do you think, Mr. Feinbaum?
Hey, AC, I think that's a great idea, the AC from Bangladesh Bowl. Where would you want to stage that game?
Woo-hoo-hoo! I like the sound of it. How about AC and Mr. Feinbaum Bowl? You know, we can make extra money, Mr. Feinbaum, from you and from America. We know we can make where they want to stage that game, big market. Whoever has the biggest market ever, we can do this. We can make extra dollars. Think about it, Mr. Feinbaum. More dollars to your pocket, more money to my pocket.
Yeah, you're right. I just thought of that. We could clean up. Asa, you be well, assuming that's possible. Bob is calling next. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have been going to Georgia games different stadium since the 50s. And Athens is a liberal town. There's no doubt about that. But I just wanted your input as to what you think Texas and Oklahoma are going to run into once they start playing 8 or 9 SEC games every year, because there's just a difference in the quality of football and the intensity of football in the SEC compared to what they're used to.
I think that's true, Bob. And I think it's I can tell you right now, Oklahoma, based on what we saw last year, is not ready for football. And yeah, they'll be ready for softball and other sports, but we're talking football here. And they appear to have taken a step backwards. I think Texas has a chance to make a mark. This is a critical season for Sarkisian. He can't afford a bad season. It would put him under tremendous pressure. But I think ultimately they'll fit in well. They are two major programs, major brands. They both have excellent athletics on every level, including football. They just have not been that great lately. Thank you for the call. I knew this call was coming. Dana is up next.
How's it going, Mr. Feinbaum?
Dana, we are doing well.
How about them Lady Vols?
They look great today. They knocked off Alabama 10-5 in the first round of the Women's College World Series.
Yeah, could have put it away. Well, they could have put it away earlier.
Well, you're right, but they did win by 5 runs. I think that was...
Oh, I know. Could have put it away that inning before that. But
No, I agree.
Yeah, they just look good. They really do. I'm proud of them. But, hey, let me ask you this. Why should I care, or anybody in the Southeastern Conference cares what Texas does? I mean, if you're... You're talking about the ACC and the Big Ten, right?
Right.
Who cares what Texas does? I think the SEC should – Texas should be glad that they're coming.
And Dana, the
– I'm ignorant, ain't I?
No, I was trying to think of a nicer word.
Okay.
I'm just trying to understand – I'm trying to understand – once they get in, will you feel differently?
Sure.
Oh, okay. So you just don't care right now because they're in the Big 12.
Right. I'm just saying, what does it matter to an SEC fan about the ACC and the Big Ten?
Well, that's fair. I mean, I know where you're coming from. I'm just saying that, and listen, this year we'll talk about Oklahoma and Texas, and we had the guests on yesterday. But once we get to July, you're right. We are not going to, other than when they play in the SEC, and it's interesting that Texas is playing Alabama. Oklahoma was supposed to play Georgia this year, but that game is not going to happen. So it won't matter. I'm not going to be glued to the Big 12, but.
No. I think Texas should be honored that they're coming to the SEC.
Really?
Ain't nobody trying to woo them.
Yeah, Dana, thank you for the call. That's not exactly accurate. Tried to make that point earlier. And I think Chris Del Conte yesterday made the point that we were just so excited and the SEC was so excited. But the fact is, Texas made a decision. They needed to go to some other league. And if this had been free agency, and Texas had said, "Okay, we're up for bid." The Pac-12 would have made a run and failed. The ACC would have made a run and failed. And it would have been a bloodbath between the Big Ten and the SEC. And a lot of times, it's driven by, "I don't want the other guy to get him." That's not. But it happens it happens all the time. And it happens in coaching. Why do coaches get 30, 40, 50, 60, $100 million buyouts because you get into a bidding war and very smart agents go to one and say, listen, you don't want to pay. There's somebody who will. It's common practice. Happens in every business in the world. We are going to hit the break. A lot to do here. We'll find out a little bit more about some important issues with Max Olson. What's happening with Colorado? They seem like they are open for bid right now. We'll find out the story. Are they staying in the Pac-12 or are they going back home to where they used to live?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back. And how about this? Big 12 looking at Memphis? Same school that they snubbed a couple of years ago? Meanwhile, Dion, he is Colorado, and maybe, just maybe, they're on the move as well. Big 12 is always active. Max Olson joining us to discuss what Colorado just stays for school. Nobody gave a second thought to for many, many years. They are now pretty much, they're not at the epicenter, but they're near it. Max, thank you. Appreciate your time. Give us an overview, first of all, on Colorado. What is going on out there other than Dion stealing the spotlight from everyone in college athletics, and could they be on the move?
Yeah, Paul, appreciate you having me on. Always a pleasure. You know, I think certainly ever since USC and UCLA bailed on the Pac-12 and Brady Ormark was hired, at around the same time as the new commissioner of the Big 12, certainly they've been eyeing trying to take members from the Pac-12. You know, but certainly big difference, I think, in some ways since Deion Sanders came in. I think that from everyone I've talked to, Brady Ormark is very intrigued by Coach Prime and what is going on in Boulder, and feels like there's a real fit there for a conference that wants to, as Brett Yormark has put it, get younger, hipper, cooler. I think there's real interest there in what's going on in Boulder, despite obviously, you know, coming off a 1-11 season and really not having any success in the Pac-12 other than one 10-win season. It's been a struggle for that football program, you know, in terms of ever since 2011 when they left the Big 12. Solid in basketball, obviously, but I think that they view, you know, a lot of positives in terms of the Denver market, expanding westward. You know, I think if they can get Colorado, gives them a chance to potentially also get Arizona. So, you know, there's very serious interest in Colorado and has been for months. Of course, what we don't know is when this all comes to a head.
And knowing how difficult these things are to make happen, is there a specific timeline on the possibility?
Yeah, I wish I knew. You know, I think there's one date to keep in mind is at the end of the month here. If San Diego State is not leaving the Mountain West for the Pac-12, then their exit fee triples. So I think they certainly need an answer by the end of June here about what's the move. You know, the negotiation's still ongoing for the Pac-12 with their media rights. And, you know, I think at this point, Colorado and Arizona and those leaders still feel like they need to sit back and see what the offer is before they make any changes. And certainly it's possible that offer and the distribution in terms of who the new partners are could be good enough that they stay put and sign a grant of rights and everyone kind of sticks together here in the short term. But certainly these, you know, there's been a few deadlines that have passed at this point, it seems like. Certainly here in the next month and a half, I feel like there's got to be resolution.
Max, it could be just getting back from the SEC meetings where the sun really was shining bright on the SEC, and even the SEC, you know, dealing with new issues that it has not had to deal with, even though it's in the Big Ten and the SEC are in a different league. But how far behind is the Pac-12 falling, and can they get up?
Yeah, I know when you think about all the time spent on 8 versus 9 conference games, those seem like extremely first world problems for the SEC compared to what the Pac-12 is up against here. You know, this process started last summer in terms of the Pac-12 beginning these negotiations. And you know, ultimately they need that number to be on par with the Big 12. And obviously that number in terms of the annual distribution is still not going to be anywhere close to the Big 10 or the SEC, but they're still trying to, you know, land a deal with multiple partners here, you would assume, to try and get in that range and not just be good enough. Now, what's the split in terms of linear versus streaming on that? Is that actually, you know, a satisfactory deal for everybody? What do you do with the Pac-12 network? These issues are all kind of bundled together here in addition to expansion and potential departures here. So, you know, that pressure on George Stafkoff is pretty obvious at this point. And the longer this drags on, the more it kind of gives Brett Yormark ammo to pursue these schools among the many others that he has spent time pursuing this spring.
Max, let's switch over to the Big 12. Many wondered about the Big 12 2 years ago. Could it survive? It seems like it's surviving quite well. New leadership, energy, and more speculation about potential members. What do you hear?
Yeah, you know, I think that certainly Brett Yormark takes a very different approach than his predecessor, Bob Boolsby, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just been very aggressive in trying to get a lot of things done in year one, and as somebody who's willing to talk to a lot of different schools and, you know, take meetings and visit campuses and stuff like that, and truly someone who, when he says he's exploring his options, he is doing that on a daily basis. So it's been very active here in terms of, you know, like really looking carefully at a bunch of different routes here. They're not just depending on this Pac-12 thing to shake their way. Certainly he has looked at UConn and Gonzaga and other schools that could boost their value in terms of a basketball league and kind of further the reputation there as the strongest one in the country. I know he sees a lot of value in that potentially on the next TV deal if they can break off the TV rights. So he's pursuing that. There's certainly other schools on that list that they've talked about or explored. And if, you know, if the Pac-12 schools stay put, I wouldn't be surprised if the Big 12 still decided to expand. They don't have to, but certainly they're looking at going to 14 or 16 members.
Memphis has been mentioned. I bring that up because Colorado, of course, but I mean, Memphis was a program seemingly left for dead a couple of years ago when they made a pretty bold bid to get in. Do you hear, I mean, do you understand or do you know much about how this has happened and what it means and could it happen?
You know, it's interesting when we went through the last round of this and the Big 12 added BYU, Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati, it was pretty easy for their, you know, their board, their presidents, chancellors, ADs to you know, get on the same page about these are the four that are basically the four best available free agents here. And you didn't hear, as much as Memphis made an effort, you didn't really hear a lot of momentum or conversation around that being, you know, kind of in that top four or very carefully considered, you know, very like highly considered for one of those spots. So certainly these schools that are still in the American and the changing American now, like you're more motivated than ever before to try and try and land one of these spots in a Power 5 league. And so I don't doubt that Memphis, any hint or any interest they can get from Brett Yormark, they're going to pursue it as hard as they can and try to make it appealing because they certainly want to grab one of these spots.
Max, let me end where we began. And I was talking to one of your colleagues the other day, and it just seemed like many of the national writers that I run into seem to be at least reading short-term in Boulder, Colorado. Give us a lay of the land on that program out there with Dion and how close of an eye college football is going to have on it here in a couple of months.
Yeah, you know, certainly one of the things I focus on a lot in my role at The Athletic is the transfer portal. And so from that standpoint, it's been just utterly fascinating to see the approach they've taken for year one to move on from as many, you know, over 50 scholarship players in a lot of cases, you know, just basically cutting those players from the roster to see the way that they've tried to expedite this and do this Deion Sanders way. Just very curious to see how quickly that pays off. Certainly when you bring a talented quarterback and his son with you and some really, you know, blue chip talent, I know it's a real win now mentality. I think the expectations are kind of low in terms of how many games they're going to win this year, but man, to flip the roster the way they have, nobody's ever done it like this before. And I know from talking to lots of coaches, there's a ton of curiosity about, will that actually work? Because Colorado was just so bad last year. And they're going into a tough league with a tough schedule this year. So I think you've got a lot of eyes on that, and especially those first games against TCU and Nebraska. Like, they really have the kind of national spotlight on them. We'll see if they can sustain that over the course of the season.
That's the ultimate question. And I know some people think that the media spotlight will remain hot, but you know, a couple of losses and the posse seems to move on pretty quickly. Max, thank you. Appreciate it. Max Olson from The Athletic. Great stuff about where the Big 12 currently is. We'll get back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, final 90 minutes of our program, and Vance is calling next in Georgia. Hey, Vance, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Something just dawned on me. I wanted to make two comments about Vanderbilt, and one of them's going to be real quick. I want Joe to go in the stands of a Vanderbilt baseball game with that gun and take care of that damn whistling. Just take care of it.
What, yeah, well, I think there are probably better ways of dealing with the whistling than
your suggestion. Well, I was going to say it's fungo bat shampoo, but I wanted to bring up this Vanderbilt head football coach, Paul. Wow. What university would not love to have that guy? He was so impressive. Such a positive attitude.
And he, Vance, he's done it really against all odds. And, you know, I've interviewed him from the beginning. And I mean, early on, you eye rolled him. You're like, okay, sure. But he proved it. Like,
yeah,
in a 2-week period last year, he knocked off two very difficult in division opponents and really put that program in a position it has not been in 10 years.
I was stunned at that man. He was. You talk about a potential motivational speaker. He is positive as he can. He is. I just thought he was wonderful. I wanted to bring up something real quick, if I can, about Texas. Did we get a taste of Texas 2 weeks ago when they kind of took over your radio station for a few days? It kind of reminded me after Ohio State beat Alabama in 2014, for 4 months you said, this is all Ohio State radio.
Right.
If anyone doesn't think that, let Texas beat Alabama the second game of this season, and they'll be calling you all day long, even though they're not in the conference. I served with people from Texas, Paul. There ain't nobody like them.
Thank you very much, Vance. We have some breaking news here from the SEC spring meetings. We've been waiting for some decision. We now have that. Commissioner Greg Sankey seconds ago announced that the Southeastern Conference would play 8 league games in 2024. That is when Oklahoma and Texas join the league. Divisions are now officially gone as anticipated. The commissioner said that there is a requirement that everyone has to play at least one Power 5 non-conference game. Most do, but some sneak around the edges. But that certainly is the news that has been anticipated all week. From probably early Monday on, things seemed to turn where the commissioner and the league simply felt it was not doable to go to 9 next year until everyone was aligned. And it's pretty obvious there was a lot of dissent. A year ago, it was considered an absolute lock that the SEC would go to 9 and would be completely rebooting its current system where you have the current alignment. There was going to be 3 permanent and obviously 6 rotating. Not anymore, for at least 1 year. And I think that's the best bet. Nobody knows with certainty. But it gives the SEC a little more time to bring in Texas and Oklahoma, experience the college football expansion, and see where it is going. So we'll have more on that as the afternoon rolls on, but repeating the big story of the day, that is it. The commissioner, I mean, he is literally speaking as we speak, so we'll be able to bring some of it to you, but there is a long-term strategy, he said, that they are currently working on. The opponents for each team in 2024 will be revealed on June 14th. It will be televised live. We will see the opponents. We will not know the dates, but that will be what is today? June. So that'll be 2 weeks from today. We will know much more about that. The 2024 schedules are going to come out then, and most of it's fairly simple. Now, again, all the what I'm saying is simple is the permanent rival. You can almost guess with each rivalry who the respective school will be playing. So that's where we are. That news breaking just moments ago. We'll have more on that from Miramar Beach at the SEC meetings in just a minute. Patrick is up next. Good afternoon, Patrick.
Yes, good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Super. Hey, I've been thinking of this over, and I'm a lifelong Tennessee fan. I'm an educated man. I'm 60 years old. I've got an electrical engineering degree. But I just don't seem to get the value of bringing Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC and eliminating these divisions. How's that going to help me, the average Tennessee fan? Let me run this scenario by you here, and maybe you can help me explain it. Let's say there's 8 games and no divisions, right? We got Tennessee playing Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Kentucky,
Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and ended up with Texas. You with me?
So far.
Okay, and in Oklahoma, let's say this, for Oklahoma, they get Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Auburn, Arkansas, Missouri, and they wind up with South Carolina or Florida. Either one of them doesn't matter. Tennessee loses two of their games. Let's say they lose to Georgia and Texas. And Oklahoma finishes up with an 8-0, and Tennessee goes 6-2. How's that benefit? Explain to the Tennessee fans what benefit it does to bring these guys into the conference under that circumstance. Does it make my season tickets cheaper? Does it make Tennessee's likelihood of going to the bowl games better? Does it make their likelihood of playing for a national championship odds of it go up? And I'll listen to your call. Thank you.
I'm listening to you, and I appreciate your concerns. But I'll say that it's a moot point now. And you know, we can debate, well, how the divisions should look. We can debate whether it was a good idea. The decision was made 2 years ago. It's now in the process of being implemented. So all fair questions, but no longer relevant. We'll take a short break. More reaction to what is the news coming out of Florida. And your reaction to that right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we welcome you back, and more breaking news from the SEC meetings. It is now official. Divisions are gone, according to the commissioner, and the SEC will remain at 8 conference games in 2024. The commissioner said that every school in the league, all 16 that we're talking about, will be required to play a Power 5. He said that the ADs and the presidents did vote on the scheduling model. It was unanimous to move to this compromising short-term 8-game model. We'll continue to update you. We'll try to get down there. This is happening as we speak. Obviously, if we were there today, we would be able to show it, but we're not there today, so we're doing the best we can to tell you what is going on a couple hundred miles away in real time, and we will continue to do that. Let's grab Brad next in Texas. Hello, Brad.
Am I on the Paul Feinbaum show?
Correct.
Hello?
You were on the Paul Feinbaum show.
I feel like I've been knighted. I listen to you all the time. I'm in Northeast Texas, and I kind of wanted to explain a little bit what the guy from A&M was talking about, UT not fitting into the SEC, and I don't think it's liberal and conservative so much, but I'll just go back in time. When I was a young boy growing up in Northeast Texas, if somebody said Austin, Texas, several things came to my mind. Darrell Royal, James Street, Steve Wooster, and Cotton Spire. And if you know how old I am, if you know any of those names I mentioned.
I know those names.
Because Austin was a city of about 100,000, and it was all UT. And it was, you know, that version of UT would have fit well. Now, fast forward about 60 years, and there was a little article in Texas Monthly, Signs of the End of Time. In Austin, Texas, Pee Wee lacrosse has more enrollment than Pop Warner football. And that just has to do with Austin is a town of about 1 million people now. A lot of people from the Northeast have come because there's a lot of high-tech jobs, Tesla, Dell computers and everything. Austin's diversified so much, and most of the schools in the Southeastern Conference, when you go 100 miles over to the east, you've got College Station. The only reason College Station is there is for Texas A&M. You go up to Norman, Oklahoma. I lived in Oklahoma. You know, I watched the OU UT game with OU fans and UT fans because, unfortunately, I'm married into a bunch of UT fans with my wife. It made a hell of a lot bigger difference when OU lost to Texas than vice versa with the fan base. And I just think it's what the SEC, you know, their motto, it just means more. I don't think football means as much to UT now simply because it's just a diverse – things have changed. And I think, you know, really – they would have fit in with the Pac-12 or whatever the Pac, whatever it is. Now, they wouldn't now because UCLA and USC are moving to the Big Ten now. But, I that's just kind of my read on what's happening there. And personally, you know, I'm a TCU graduate, so I'm looking forward to seeing UT and Texas A&M lose often and large when they're both in the SEC. So that's where I am, and that's just kind of how I see it. And you know, I've been a football fan for over 60 years now. So anyway, I don't know if that makes any sense or anything, but that's just how I see
it. Brad, it makes perfect sense, and we appreciate you joining us. It's always good to hear an interesting perspective. Dale is in Colorado. Hello, Dale.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are great. Thank you.
Yeah, so I just got a quick question, man. Maybe you can explain it to me better. I know as far as the 8-game proposal and the 9-game proposal, okay, just for instance, Georgia plays Ole Miss this year. The first time they played in, like, I don't know what, 6 or 7 years? Okay, so but I heard under the 9-game proposal that every SEC team would play the other SEC teams every other year. Now, what can be better than that? I mean, who wants to see Georgia play Kent State or Alabama play Troy? So what is the difference between the 8 and the 9 games?
Well, I think in the 8, you will see every school within 4 years. I think you alluded to the 9. I think it's a matter of quality. And, yeah, I mean, I can give you a couple of SEC games that the two of us wouldn't be riveted to. But
right.
If you're at Mississippi State, and I was talking to Zach Selman yesterday, suddenly Oklahoma or Texas pops up on your schedule with 9 games a lot more frequently than they would. Those are big things. And I think because this is there's going to be a lot of negative reaction to this. There already has been in anticipation, but. Yeah.
It's going to be resolved, though, very quickly.
I believe this is a one-year deal. It's a bridge. And whenever I've been around for both Arkansas and South Carolina coming into the league and the most recent one 10 years ago with Missouri and Texas A&M. And it's a difficult transition. I remember, I think, in 92 – it was essentially a one-game schedule, which I think was the case a couple of years ago. I mean, I believe, of course, I was covering Alabama, so I'm more cognizant of the Alabama played at Tiger Stadium 2 straight years. Now, is that fair? No. But somebody is going to get a bad card on this calendar. And I don't know how they're – I mean, I do know their model, and we've heard the commissioner talk about it. But that still doesn't help. Last year, for example, LSU, they picked a bad year to play Tennessee. I mean, it's as simple as that. So, you know, national championships could and SEC titles could be affected by this. But that's with every schedule. Thank you very, very much. Cappy is in Tennessee. Hello, Cappy.
Hey, Paul.
question for you. Do you like money?
What was the question,
Ken? I like money.
Okay. Yeah. I try to grab a couple of dollars whenever I can.
And so do I. Here's my question about this new schedule format you outlined for all
By
of
the way,
us.
I didn't this morning. I was in an Uber, and because the Uber guy that was supposed to pick me up didn't, and I already charged it, the guy asked me if I could pay cash, and I had $30 in my wallet. So the answer is I don't have money.
Well, you're going to expense that ride anyway, hopefully.
Yeah, but I was in a tough spot, though, because I couldn't afford the ride I was in.
With this schedule format and playing a Power 5 opponent, it's going to be a home-and-home. So we're losing gate revenue. We're losing another game potentially on our network. You know, why not go ahead and try and implement this? I know the logistics are hard, but a lot of your listeners probably don't understand the economies of these universities and the money involved. I understand Stanky's working really hard, but, you know, we're going to lose some historic rivalries, and as a Tennessee fan, there are some that I obviously value more than others.
Cappy, I agree. We've already done that. The schedules that we used to see George Auburn at the end of the year. Now, we'll update the SEC's big decision when we come back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.